The gospel for this fourth Sunday after Epiphany, John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. These words also serve as the basis for the children's message this morning, as well as this morning's sermon. And again, we want to listen for the hope that we have in Jesus that these words speak to us about. So John chapter 14, starting at verse 14, this is Jesus speaking here, and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." This ends the gospel reading for today. So I'm going to tell you a story about an elderly woman, a jogger, and a turtle. Okay, so we got an elderly woman, a jogger, and a turtle. Every Saturday morning, this jogger would go for a jog, a little run around a lake. And every Saturday morning that he went jogging around this lake, there was this older woman, this elderly woman, sitting on a bench by the lake with a little metal cage. And he saw this woman there every Saturday, every time he went for a run, and he said to himself, "Someday I'm going to stop and I'm going to talk to this woman and I'm going to ask her, why are you sitting on this park bench every Saturday with this little metal cage by you?" And so one Saturday, he did. He stopped, he talked to her, and he asked her, "So every Saturday I go running, I see you here. Why are you here? What's in the cage?" And she simply smiled and brought the cage from down by her feet up onto her lap. She opened the little door on the cage and she put her hand inside and she brought out this little turtle. And at the same time, she reached her other hand into a pocket and pulled out a little brush and she started scrubbing the shell on the turtle. And then she looked back up at the jogger, and she gave him another little grin, and she said, "Every Saturday morning, I come here, I sit on the bench, and I scrub my turtle's shell." Well, the jogger thought, that's nice, and that's great, and he said to her, "It's wonderful that you do this, that you have such great care for your turtle, but why?" And she said, "Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but turtles will accumulate scum and algae on their shells, and it hinders their ability to retain heat. It makes it more difficult for them to swim through water, and if they have algae and scum on their shells for a long time, it can actually weaken the strength of the shell and bring some harm to the turtle's life." Well, the jogger said, that's all fine and good, but you're doing this for one turtle. There's got to be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of turtles in the world that don't have somebody to care for them in this way. You know, if you really want to help, couldn't you do something else to help? I mean, help the world, help people. You know, you're just scrubbing a little turtle's shell. And the elderly woman, once again, gave the jogger this little grin, this little smile, and said, "I am helping. I am helping this one little turtle. And to this one little turtle, what I am doing for it means everything in the world. I am this turtle's hope." Okay.
each and every one of us in this church this morning, in fact, each and every person in this world, whether they realize it or not, maybe whether you realize it or not here this morning, there's something that all of us need. We need this thing called hope. Well, what is hope? Well, if you look up the word hope in the dictionary, it'll say that hope is an expectation that something is going to happen. But hope is an interesting word. It's kind of like the word faith. And in Christianity, we talk a lot about faith because the Bible talks about faith. Well, something that's similar between faith and hope is they need an object. So sometimes we hear people, and maybe we even do it ourselves, use words like faith and hope without an object. But it doesn't really make sense if we do this. If we say, well, you just got to have faith, or, well, you just got to have hope. Well, hope in what? Hope in the weather? I think we sort of talked about that in our children's devotion this morning, and we said, well, you know, we can hope whatever we want, but it's really not going to change. It's really not going to influence the weather. If you happen to be a San Francisco 49ers fan today, or you happen to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you're hoping to have some hope, but you probably also got a little bit of anxiety going on, because no matter how much you hope that your team plays well and wins the Super Bowl, the truth is, your hope isn't going to influence the outcome of that game. So again, our faith, our hope, has to be in someone or something. Otherwise, it's just empty faith, it's empty hope. It's really just, they're just words then. There's nothing to them. So in the Christian faith, and the way that the Bible speaks, our hope has the object of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And when we think about that, that's super good news for you and for me. And this morning I'm going to share with you a couple reasons why. So why is it super good news for us that our hope is in Jesus? Well, it's super good news for us that our hope is in Jesus because when we think about some of the hopes that we have, again, kind of like the weather maybe, or that our particular sports team, well, favorite sports team will win whatever game we want them to win, we recognize that just because we hope something, it doesn't mean it's always going to work out because perhaps that hope is based in we ourselves, our smarts, our efforts, our planning, our goals. You're kind of getting the key word here, right? I mean, like, it's based in us, it's based in me, it's based in you, it's based in us as sinful people. People who can't always influence things, who can't always change things as we would like them to. I mean, we're not God, right? But sometimes we sort of act like and we function like and we speak like we are. That we're somehow omniscient, that we know all things. Or that we're somehow all-powerful, omnipotent, that we can control all things. That goal or those goals that we had, that we worked so hard at. Sometimes they work out and we achieve them and we accomplish them. Sometimes we don't. Well, then what? That relationship that we would like to improve and we put a lot of time, we put a lot of effort, maybe we even put money into improving that relationship and it didn't improve. Well, now what? Our hope to fight against this temptation or that temptation. Boy, we really tried, but it didn't seem to work out. We didn't seem to be able to conquer the temptation. Why was that? Was our hope maybe being placed in ourselves? I was very glad to hear a humorous comment. I think it was a humorous comment. When I came into church this morning, I walked in the door, and if you're a member here at Trinity, you obviously know this. If you're not a member, maybe today is your first time. This congregation is going through a time of a pastoral vacancy, and the person's comment to me was, apparently you had a meeting last week, and you just voted to be permanently vacant. And so, you know, that's the direction you're going down, okay? And I was glad to hear the individual say that because To me anyway, that means and that sounds like you haven't lost hope, right? Your hope is not in a pastor, but your hope remains in the one who's not ever going to change, who's not ever going to leave you, who's always going to be here, and that's God. Okay? So our hope, not in ourselves, not in our planning, not in our goals, not in our actions, not in our smarts, but in God. Because we're not all powerful, we're not all knowing, but God is. If you think about it, it's kind of interesting, the time and the year, the Christian church year in which we are right now, and that we're talking about hope. It was a little over a month ago when maybe you were gathered together in this house of worship or maybe another house of worship, and you were celebrating the hope that came and that was born and that was laying in a manger, talking about Jesus. And if you were watching the children's devotion at all this morning, you noticed what we talked about after hope was born in the manger. Well, hope lived. Jesus lived. And he lived the kind of life that you and I can't live. It was perfect. It was holy. It was without sin. But that we need to live, but we can't. So we got this predicament. Well, that hope, Jesus, died for us, died for our sins, died to make us right with God. That's the importance of Good Friday. That's what he did for us. But again, did hope die then? No, it didn't. Because hope came back to life on Easter Sunday. A dead Savior is not going to do you or me any good. And we don't have a dead Savior. We have a risen and living Savior in Jesus Christ. And he is one who is able to give you and me hope always and at all times. And so I invite you to listen once again here in just a moment to the gospel reading for today. That's the basis for what I'm going to say, what I am saying. And as I share this gospel reading once again, I want you to listen for four things about, well, why can we have hope in Jesus? Why do we put our hope in Jesus? Why, from the Bible's perspective, the Christian perspective, does that make sense? And why is it good for you as an individual, as well as a Christian congregation? These four things. One is because it's through the hope that we have in Jesus that we know God. And if you're somebody who's at Trinity today and you're wondering, well, why is it important to know God? Why is that a big deal? Why does that matter? I'd love to talk to you about that more. Okay, that's another sermon. Not going to give that to you today. So that's one thing. Through the hope that we have in Jesus, we know God. We also come into a good relationship with God through the hope that we have in Jesus, through the faith that we have in Jesus. The third thing, through the hope that we have in Jesus, the faith that we have in Jesus, we get to go to heaven. And you heard about that in the gospel lesson for today. I'm going to share that with you again. Listen up for that. And then the last thing is, through the hope that we have in Jesus, through the faith that we have in Jesus, we can go to God in prayer. You know, how many people in our world today think that, well, praying, it's kind of, okay, here comes a gambling term. I'll apologize in advance if you don't like gambling terms in church, but here it comes. Some people think prayer is like a crapshoot, right? So you throw the prayer out there. God might listen. He might answer. He might not. Maybe if you think you've been living your life good, God's going to hear your prayer. He's going to, maybe if you haven't, he's, no. You know, in the Bible, God tells us that he hears every one of our prayers. It's not a crapshoot. He hears every one of our prayers, and he answers that prayer with our eternal good in mind. And that's huge. Because sometimes we might think, you know, kind of in the short term, well, this is my hope. This is how I want you to answer this prayer. Now, God. But God says, no, you know what? Because I love you, because I care about you, because I have your eternal best interest in mind, I got an answer that's better for you. I got a response that's better for you than the one you're thinking of. So with those things said here this morning, I invite you to listen to the gospel from John chapter 14 one more time and listen up for these four reasons, these four hopes that we have in Jesus, in God, that it's through Jesus that we get to know God, that it's through Jesus that we get into a good relationship with God, that it's through Jesus we have the hope of heaven, and it's a real and a sure hope. If you were to breathe your last this very day through faith in Jesus, you can be absolutely assured that when you would wake up, when your eyes would open, you would be with Jesus in heaven, and that's a wonderful thing. And then the fourth thing, the hope that we have in prayer through Jesus. So with these things said, John chapter 14, one more time. This is Jesus, and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do greater works than I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You can ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." This ends the reading from John chapter 14, and this ends this sermon. Amen.